السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. My dear brother and friend Omar Abdulal, the man who asks good questions, and I are walking in actually the wire. As you can see, it's a very misty morning and fall is in full swing, so we have these absolutely brilliant colors and they change every day, and then also a lot of leaf is falling, so very soon all these trees are going to be bare except these ones directly in front of us, the conifers, the pines, which don't shed their leaves in the evergreen. Now Omar asked me a question, because we started the series on Tazkiyatu Nafs. He said, how would you describe Tazkiyah? What is Tazkiyah? So I said to him that according to me, Tazkiyah is to free and clean the heart, the qalb, from everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to purify the heart from all nasib Allah, all makhluqs, which means not to have hope in anyone or anything other than Allah, not to have fear of anyone or anything other than Allah, not to trust anyone or anything other than Allah, and of course to worship nothing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the thought came to me that, alhamdulillah, when you do that, all the rest of it, when we talk about tazkiyah, usually you will find people who say, free the heart of nifaq, free the heart of greed, free the heart of hatred, free the heart from envy and jealousy, and so on. The thought that came to me is that when you free your heart from all makhluq, from all filqat, when you free your heart from all of that, and your heart is filled only and only with the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically it gets freed from all the rest of the stuff. Because a heart that does not have, that has only Allah, cannot be greedy for anything other than the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you are greedy of material things and you say, I love Allah and I want the ma'iyat of Allah, then what's a Ferrari and what's a $500,000 home, or what's money, it's nothing. So this usual stuff that we are greedy for, which is material stuff, worldly stuff, completely loses meaning, has no meaning. Because all I want is Allah. And all I want is the ma'iyat of Allah. All I want is the qurbat of Allah. So if that is truly what I want, then how can I want anything else? Because then there is no tazkiyah. Then there is khalt in the heart, there's confusion in the heart, there's a mixture of good and evil in the heart. Can't be that. Similarly, envy. You would envy who for what? The only envy that you might still have in your heart is the permissible envy, the envying of somebody else who is, at least in your opinion, closer to Allah than you are. So I envy this person for that reason, which is a permissible form of envy. But other than that, what else could I possibly envy somebody else for when the only thing I want is Allah? Because envying implies that I want something the other person has, but I don't want anything the other person has. There's nothing the other person has which is superior to what I want, which is the ma'iyat and the qurbat, the being with Allah, the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So also for hatred and and all the rest of it. How can any of that exist when my focus is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So I think this is the my own realization. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who sincerely seek His pleasure, seek closeness to Him, seek to be with Him, and whose hearts are filled with the hub and the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone.
They will.
The interesting thing to understand, keep in mind, is the reason why all of this disappears is because all of this is related to this dunya. Greed and envy and hatred and jealousy and whatever has to do with this life. When you die, there's no greed, there's no envy, there's no nothing. So if we can negate this in this life before we die, that's it. And the only way we can negate that is by, you know, closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to give you an example, for example, supposing I want a car and I really, you know, I'm sort of very greedy for it, and I, the car I have in mind is, say, a Toyota Camry, and somebody else has it, and I feel, oh my God, I wish I had it, and I am envious about this for this guy, and somebody brings me, comes in the morning, knocks on the door and says, here are the keys to that car there for you, sent by the King of Saudi Arabia or something, huh? And that's a Mercedes 350 SL, or it's a Ferrari or whatever, right? A Lamborghini or a Bugatti. Then am I still greedy for the Toyota? I mean, that's a dumb question. You can't be greedy for the Toyota when you are, when you got a free, you know, Mercedes S-Class. Now, how about when what you want is Salifu Samawati wal Ard, Rabbu Samawati wal Ard, Maliku Samawati wal Ard? And remember, I'm in that. So when I'm saying Khaliqu Samawati wal Ard, He's also my Khalis and your Khalis. And when I'm saying Rabbu Samawati wal Ard, He's also your Rabb and my Rabb. And part of Rububiyat, or the, not the part of Rububiyat, the sifat of Rububiyat, the quality of Rububiyat, is to take Shay Nakhis, something which is incomplete, which is which is faulty and so on, and take it batadrij, darja by darja, level by level, to a state of completion and perfection. So this is the one. When I say Rabbi, my Rabb, how can I then fear anything? Because if He is my Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu, and He is my Rabb, whether I like it or not, whether I accept or not, and of course I do accept, and I do like it, I love it, and He is my witness. If He is my Rabb, then He is Rabb, and the sifat of Rububiyat, the quality of Rububiyat, is to take something which is incomplete, which is faulty, which is painful, which is small, which is haqir, to a stage of completion and perfection. Not the other way around. Think about that. I mean, it can be both ways, right? It can be something which is perfect, which is destroyed. Allah is not doing that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing it only one way, which is something which is imperfect to a state of perfection. So when that is the one who is my Rabb, someone who takes something from a state of imperfection to a state of perfection, then what am I fearing? Because the only thing which can happen to me is that I can become better. The only thing that can happen to me is that I am forgiven. The only thing which can happen to me is that I meet Allah in a state where He loves me. Somebody told me a story. He said that in the days when they had slaves, there was this man who had a slave woman, and she was praying in the night once, and she was making dua, and he overheard her. And she said, "Oh my Rabb, I invoke you by the love that you have for me." She's saying, "I invoke you by the love that you have for me." She's not saying, "I invoke you by the love I have for you." Other way around. She says, "My Rabb, I invoke you by the love that you have for me. Forgive me." Now, this man overheard this dua. So he waited when she finished her salah and dua. He asked her, he said, "What kind of a dua is this? I mean, what? You mean, you're saying, oh Allah, I invoke you by your love for me?" He said, "How can you say that? I mean, it sounds like almost disrespectful. How can you say that your love for me?" She said, "Look, if Allah did not love me, He would not wake me up to pray tahajjud. If Allah did not love me, He would not put this dua in my heart. If Allah did not love me, He would not give me the words to say this. So this is evidence for me. And so I invoke my Rabb. I say, oh Allah, you love me. So do this for me. Oh Allah, you love me. So forgive me. Oh Allah, you love me. So clean my heart from everything other than you, because I love you. And you love me." Ajeeb, eh? People who know their Rabb. This is the whole issue of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as different from knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eh? Knowing Allah and knowing about Allah. And again, ta'ala amthal. If somebody tells you, "Do you know your mother? Tell me about your mother." I can tell you there are many, many sons and daughters who really do not know much about their mothers. You know, the date she was born, her parents, what kind of childhood she had, what did she hope for, aspire for, what did she get, she didn't get, what does she like, she doesn't like. They don't know. I'm talking about children who love their mothers, who would give their lives for their mothers without a second thought. But they don't know much about them. So what do you say to the child? Say, no, forget about this love for the mother. Go find out all about her life history. No. I mean, sure, find out her life history. That's a different thing. But the child says, "I know my mother because of what he experiences from the mother." He knows his mother in his heart. He knows his mother in a way that nobody else can know her, because he came out of her womb, or she came out of the womb of her mother. And what they feel for her is only something which they can feel, nobody else. So therefore, as far as knowing about Allah is concerned, of course it's important. We should know, because you cannot love somebody that you don't know. So you must know about Allah, but as I'm saying, knowing is of two kinds. One is knowing about, and the other one is knowing. Another example, if you say, "Do you know the President of the United States?" And I say, "I know who it is. I know where he lives. His official residence anyway. I might even know something about his family and his education and whatnot." But says, "Okay, so call him. Here's the number." "Do you know the number?" "I mean, I don't know. How do you say you know him if you don't have his number?" "Well, I don't have his number because I don't think he's going to pick up my call anyway. So what the hell? What do I do with his number?" Right? But subhanAllah, think about this. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla shanahu amma nawalu. He is the one who created this beautiful scenery which I have. Hope this camera does some level of justice to it. He is the one who... It's cold. Omar and I are wearing hoodies. Omar, look here. Show your face. That is Omar Abdullah, the man with the smart questions. And you've seen me, so you don't need to see me. So we are wearing hoodies because it's cold.
Also the
But we have here these mallards in this cold weather, and they are dunking themselves trying to find food. And we have this small flock of geese who are coming to the shore. I think they're trying to make up their minds whether They should come to the shore, or they should wait until we pass. What should happen? Looks like a that looks like a mother with her. Well, they're full grown basically, but you know, her chicks. So that's a family there. You got four of these goslings, and you've got the mother who's leading them. Absolutely fabulous. The mist is very heavy, as you can see. It's like almost like smoke. It's completely covered in everything. So here is the next question from the man who asked a good question. He says that you say Tasket and Nafs and so on and so forth, all this is good stuff. But what is the first step to take if I want to have Tasket? What must I do? And my answer is that there is no guide better than the guide of the Kalam of Allah. There is no guide better than the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what it takes to get close to Him. And He said, لَن تَنَعَلُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا بِالْشَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you cannot get close to Me. You cannot get to the level of al-birr until you spend in the path of Allah, until you give, until you donate that which you love the most. And Allah knows what you are giving, and Allah is aware of everything. So, how do you get close to Allah? By spending what Allah has given you out of all that you have, the one you love the most. Spend that in the path of Allah. Now, when we say spend, our thought immediately goes to money. It's not money. For many people, alhamdulillah, giving money is not a big thing. Some people give money is a big thing, but for other people it's not. And not because they have a lot of money. They just have big hearts. There are many wealthy people who are very stingy. Almost like a rule. I mean, it's not a rule, but almost like a rule. The people who are poor are more generous than people who are wealthy. But so giving money may not be an issue. But time might be an issue. Waking up, effort. So waking up in the morning for tahajjud might be an issue. Going and sitting with somebody who is old, who needs your help, might be an issue. Volunteering might be an issue. Standing up for justice might be an issue. Taking a stance and opening your mouth and speaking the truth might be an issue. You know, so depend on what it is. What is it that you love the most? Meaning, what is it that is the most difficult thing for you to do? We have to show Allah that we love Him. We have to prove, and of course Allah knows already, but we have to prove for ourselves that we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and anything else. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this as the quality of the believers. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Not just any love. Ashad, the superlative form of shadid. The most, the strongest, the deepest, the all-encompassing, the thing that supersedes everything else, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that is what it is. And this, Allah said, is the quality of the believers, general quality of the believers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned again in this context, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم. Again the word of hope. أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Tawbah, say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, say to the people, say to the Muslims, that if you love, if your parents or children and your siblings, your spouses, your family extended, the wealth that you accumulate, the trade that you fear a decline in, and the houses you build, and you are so happy when you see them. If these are more beloved to you, the word of love, ahabba ilayk, if these are more beloved to you than Allah, if they are more beloved to you than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they are more beloved to you than jihad fi sabilillah, struggling and working in the path of Allah for the benefit of Islam. And Allah is saying, Allah is not saying come back, and the hell will go. فَتَرَبَّصُمْ. Go away. You are discarded, we reject you. فَتَرَبَّصُ حَتَّى يَعْتِيَ اللَّهُ يَمْنِ. Until, and go and wait for the amar of Allah. Go and wait for the azab of Allah. Because that is what is promised to you. If you love any of these things more than you love Allah and His Rasul and working for the sake of Islam. Now, interesting thing to remember is that every single one of these things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerated, all of them are virtuous, all of them are halal. Some of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically told us to love those things and to serve and so on, like parents, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about spouses. Allah told us about children. All of this. Yet Allah says, all of that in its place. But if you put that into the place which belongs to Allah, which is the heart, which belongs to the Rasul of Allah, which is the heart, because, and this is not like two in the same place, we have Allah through the Rasul alayhi salam. So there is no tazad, there is no duality, there is no shirk. When I say I love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, this is what the Sahaba said. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself said in the Quran, the ayat which I mentioned to you and many other ayats, where Allah always, always, always mentioned the Rasul alayhi salam with Him. On a side note, it's a very interesting thing to think about, that in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Himself. Allah wa Rasul, Allah wa Rasul, Allah wa Rasul. In some places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned only the Rasul. وَمَنْ يُطِيِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ وَمَا عَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. And so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Rasul alone, without mentioning Himself. But Allah never in the Quran, not ever, did Allah mention Himself without the Rasul. Never, not even in one place. Now, there's no need for any confusion. The reason for this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize the position of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and to remind us that we never forget that we have this deen because of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we have Allah because of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, come to me, but through the Rasul. There is no path to me bypassing the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no path to me saying, I don't need the Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam, na'udhu billahi min dhalik. The path to Allah is through the Rasul. So the heart, when we say, is filled with the love of Allah, it's automatically filled with the love of the Habib of Allah, because we get to Allah through His Habib, through His Khalil, through His Rasul, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you love all the other things in this life, which are in themselves halal, and loving whom is not a problem, but if they come between Allah and you, then Allah does not need you. And Allah does not need you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will not guide and give hidayah to the fasiqeen. Imagine, people who love these things more than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah called them fasiqoon. And Allah promised not to guide them. I mean, what bigger wa'id do we need? And very importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also saying in this ayah, He combined jihad fi sabilillah with love for Allah and His Rasul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that claiming to love Allah and His Rasul is not singing an nasheed. It's not singing this nasheed, that nasheed, on this day, that day. Right? It's not a question of saying I sing one hamd and I sing one nasheed as part of my program for any function. First recite Quran. Again, it becomes a routine thing. It becomes a, not something because you are interested in listening to the Quran. You are interested in understanding it. You are interested in living by it. But because this is now our Muslim religious format. Somebody recites Quran, and then somebody will come and sing one hamd in praise of Allah, and then somebody comes and sings one naat in praise of Rasulullah, and then we begin our activities. Right? Believe me, beware of converting this deen into a man-made ritual. It is not. Everything has a purpose. The purpose is, if I'm listening to an hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I must ask myself, okay, so I listen to this hamd, now what is the position of Allah in my heart? I listen to this praise of Rasulullah, this naat, this nasheed about the Prophet, what is his place and position in my heart? I listen to this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did I understand it? Because most of us don't understand the Arabic. So did I understand that first of all? And if I did, then what's the next step? What am I going to do with that which I understood? So it is this very close connection with amal, which is the hallmark, the trademark, the signature of our deen. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, always, always in the Quran al-Kareem combined amal us-salih with iman. Iman wa amal us-salih. It's a deen of action. So therefore we focus on how do I get close to Allah? By spending in the path of Allah that which I love the most. And the second way we get close to Allah is by making istighfar and tawbah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And I said, the one who has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extract him from his difficulties and will provide him from sources he couldn't imagine. And the one who has tawakkul on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for him. Now, what is the first step to becoming a muttaqi? It is istighfar and tawbah. It is to own up that I have been living a life which needs correction. That I have been doing things which I knew to be incorrect, but I still did them. But now I have decided to change. So whatever happened, happened. Ya Allah, I seek your forgiveness. O Allah, forgive me and take me into your mercy. Take me under the shade of your maghfirah. Istighfar and tawbah. And we know the hadith of Rasulullah in Musnad Imam Ahmad, where he said that the one who makes istighfar, the one who makes tawbah constantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extract him from all his difficulties. Allah will solve his problem for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him from sources he could not imagine. Which is really the tafsir and explanation of the ayat of Surah Talas, which I mentioned before. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to get close to him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to focus on tazkiyat an-nafs. To get tazkiyah is not a matter of simply listening to lectures and so on. We need to listen to lectures because without that we don't know where we are going. So the lectures are very important. But by no means does going to a lecture mean that now I have become zaki, that my heart is pure. It just means that now I have a witness against me. And that witness is the knowledge that I gained. So let not the knowledge become a witness against us, but to be a mu'in for us, to be the help for us, to reach a level where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will genuinely be pleased with us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then gather us to himself in the shade of his arsh on the day when there is no shade except the shade, and grant us the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a place which we ask Allah for, which is Jannatul Firdaws. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then show us what we believed unseen, which is himself. The ru'yat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, O my slaves, are you pleased with what I have given you? And inshallah, may Allah make us all among those who will say, Ya Rab, how can we not be pleased? How can we not be pleased? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, how about I give you something better? Inshallah, we will say, we are sitting in Jannatul Firdaws. We are sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rab, what can be better than this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, remove the curtain between me and my slaves, and let them see me as I want them to see me. And we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his glory and majesty, in the way that stored to his glory and majesty, in the way that he wants us to see. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, is there? He will say, is there? Are you pleased with this? What can I do? How about I give you something even better? What is the answer to this swarna? And Allah will say, what is better is that I, from this day on, I will never be displeased with you. From this day on, I will never be displeased with you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He reminds me to say these things. He reminds me about these hadiths, He reminds me about these words. He gives me these words. And He gives me the company of this beautiful brother of mine, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted me with, that we walk in this beautiful place. SubhanAllah, Jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Some semblance of that, a reflection of that, I always remember when I walk in this place, because there are these beautiful forests with leaves like flowers, and with the grass which is so beautiful and green, with deer and rabbits and squirrels and all kinds of birds, and with this Buhaira, all these three, four beautiful lakes, the blue water reflecting the blue sky and the colors of the fall leaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me go here, gets Umar to ask these questions, that makes me answer. I say, Ya Rab, you are Rabbul Alameen. You are the Rabb. And you are the Rabb, and we believe you are the Rabb. And therefore, the sifat of Rububiyyah will be complete. But what we have been talking and hearing, we actually see and experience sitting in Jannatul Firdaws, looking at your beautiful countenance, looking at the beautiful countenance of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and listening to your elan, your announcement, and you will never be displeased with us. We ask Allah to give us this, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبينا الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.